Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPM, share number 106. And we're talking about invalidation. And there was triple threat. First one is telling your wife that her thoughts were wrong. Second one is telling your wife that her feelings were wrong. The third one, he calls the justifiable defense. It's an extremely damaging but most common aspect. So something happens and it results in your wife feeling something bad. You did something and your wife feels bad about it. And your wife said, this happened and it makes me feel bad. And we answer back to our wives, oh, let me explain. And then we make a case that it makes sense that what we did based on this matziv, what we did was correct. It's understandable. And you shouldn't feel bad. I'm innocent of my wrongdoing. It's understandable that I behave this way. And there's no reason for you to feel bad. It's one big misunderstanding. The reason why this is so damaging is because it involves defending your actions and then explaining them to justify them. So not only does it invalidate the expressed thoughts and feelings of your wife, who just finished their effort to communicate to you something painful that just happened, but you're also implying that you're going to continue this pain-causing behavior in the future. Because here's an event that happened, and your wife is telling you it's hurtful, it's scary, and she's trying to get you, to recruit you, to try to understand her, and participate to move towards avoiding that painful thing from happening again. And instead of having that empathy or remorse or compassion, you say, I'm right about it. As a matter of fact, if this matzav would happen again, I'd do it again. So just like when you dismiss your wife's thoughts or feelings when they're right in front of you, it is extremely painful. This idea of not appearing to care about the pain that your wife is feeling when it's linked to something that you did is very, very destructive and very, very hurtful. What your wife is hearing from you by defending it is she's hearing you saying, I'm going to hurt you again and again in the future. I don't need to change, you're saying to her. I'm a good person. I didn't do anything wrong. My wife, you need to change. Because it's not fair that she's making her emotions my responsibility. So the wife hears this, and she concludes, rightfully, that you're unconcerned whether she feels hurt. And she's left to conclude that tomorrow won't be different, the next month won't be different, 5 years from now won't be different. It'll hurt just as much as today. And the future looks darker, not bright, not hopeful, because you are in a pattern of behavior where you're just saying, it makes sense. Now, you don't mean to be evil. You don't mean to be ill-intentioned. You're not trying to hurt. You mean well. You're telling the truth as you see it. But that's how marriages are destroyed, because you're telling it as you see it. So you could love your wife with an honesty, but you need to consider, maybe I made an honest mistake. Maybe I did something wrong. If you're well-intentioned, you could still create a tremendous amount of damage. So it doesn't look like it's a big deal, but it's very, very important. So this author who is divorced, he said something very interesting. It mattered to his wife. He had these drinking glasses by the kitchen sink, inches away from the dishwasher. It's not a big deal. And it wasn't a big deal when he was married. But it was a big deal to his wife When his wife came in the house, and the glass was left next to the sink, and she asked many times, just please put it in the dishwasher. Sooner or later, you have to realize that it's not a matter of this glass being in the dishwasher, not being in the dishwasher. It wasn't that his wife was being petty, but it meant a lot to her. It meant a lot to her. And every time that he left the glass there on purpose next to the sink and not bothering to put into the dishwasher, got closer to ending the marriage. It sounds dramatic, but that's what he says really happens. You know, he assumes, I assume that my wife should respect me just because we exchange vows. He never connected putting a dish in the dishwasher or putting a glass in the dishwasher as a way of earning his wife's respect. One of the most encouraging things in marriage is when you ask something from, your wife asks something of you and you say, I got this. I understand what needs to be taken care of, and you take care of it. Now, and you always reason, you know, if you just tell me what you want to do, I'll gladly do it. Now, it's true you're not a mind reader and you're not expected to be a mind reader. But sometimes we have to catch on to what she really needs and what she wants. So the idea being is, like, why didn't I leave the glass by the sink? Why did I leave the glass by the sink instead of putting it in the dishwasher? So you may have different reasons, rational reasons. I want to use it again. Or I couldn't care less if the glass is sitting by the sink unless guests are visiting. Or I never care about it, period. It makes no difference to me. It's stupid. But it's stupid for you. It's not stupid for her. Why should you put it in the dishwasher? Because you love your wife and you respect your wife and it matters to her. It makes no difference if it seems petty to you. It matters to her. And when you leave that glass there, when she asked you many times, please put it in the dishwasher after you drink it or you use it, you're literally causing her pain. It's not a matter of the glass. It's a matter of, I don't respect you. I don't value your thoughts. I don't value your opinions. Take 4 seconds to put it in the dishwasher. That's more important to me. And not taking that 4 seconds to put it in the dishwasher, saying that that's more important than you are. So the idea is it's not enough to love your wife in your brain or feel the feeling in your heart. You have to convey it with acts of love. And for her, in this case, caring about her is putting that glass in the dishwasher. That's what you do. Or keeping your laundry off the floor. That's what you do. Or not tracking dirt or whatever it is on the floor that she worked hard to clean. That's what you do. Or helping with the kids whenever you can. Or say, I love you more. But actually do things that translate it, that the words I love you more mean something. It's not easy. It's not easy to change behavior. But people who are capable of these mental changes, these behavioral changes, can have great relationships. Can have great relationships. When you put life in perspective, that's what it's about. For his wife, and he said it later, it wasn't about the glass at all. It wasn't about dishes in the sink. It wasn't about that the laundry he left on the floor. It wasn't about him not, you know, trying to wiggle out of helping with the kids. It's not those specific tasks that were the idea that was bothering his wife. It was the idea of consideration, the idea of respect, the idea of appreciation. That she couldn't count on an adult who promised to love her forever. And there's no trust there. There's no safety there. People who do not feel safe will seek safety. So she needs that glass in the dishwasher. She needs the laundry off the floor because she doesn't feel safe. It's a lack of respect, a lack of caring about her in particular. A lack of recognizing that she comes first. Another aspect is to ask, how often do you remember your spouse when you make decisions? Many wives have said, I want to feel like the person I married considers me when they make decisions. And very often we do not consider how our decisions or words or actions affect our wives. And they choose either to leave or be distant from years and years of this, of neglect. Of neglect of sharing her perspective. You weren't, even if you were not trying to hurt her feelings, and you weren't trying to isolate her, but the carelessness of it, when she speaks up and you don't listen, and you say to yourself, I'm a good guy, I love her, I would never try to hurt her, I would never try to upset her, but that's the way you're acting. That when you make all these decisions and you don't confide in her at all and you just do them without asking her opinion or when she expresses it to discount it is very hurtful and very disrespectful. And sometimes we make decisions and our wife is not a factor in the math equation our brain uses whatsoever. That is what hurts the people we love. That is what hurts our wife. That creates intense pain. That erodes trust in our relationship. The purpose of your wife when she complained about these things, if you look deep into it, was not to complain about you, was not to attack your character. She was saying, maybe she didn't say it the right way. Maybe she didn't know how to say it and it came across harsh. But she wants you to help her feel loved and cherished and respected and desired. She wants her husband to think and act as if she was worthy of being considered. That she was important enough to remember and respect and think when you're making decisions or sharing things about your life. So the idea again being is that even if your intention is not malicious, your good well-meaning, it's a certain carelessness that's there. When matzavim come up, where you know it's a trigger, where she is upset at your behaviors, and you defend yourself, and without considering how she feels about it, it leaves her in a despair because she realizes this is going to happen again and again and again. It's not like a one-time thing. It's a pattern now. You're not changing your mind. I'm right in these situations. And there's a hopelessness that she feels when she realizes this, that you're not going to change the way you think about her or your perspective whatsoever, no matter how many years will pass by. And that creates a tremendous yush and distance. That's why it's important to work through that empathy and understand and be more compassionate and considerate. And learning how to change that behavior and that thought processes could transform a marriage from a difficult one to a beautiful one. Bracha v'atzlacha.